Have you ever heard a musical artist described as having great chops? What does that mean? Well, the term chops is slang in the music business that refers to an artist that has developed great skills over time, whether they are a musician, composer, producer, or other titles associated with the music business. This is Scott Grimaldi, your host of Got Chops. Join me as I interview one musical artist per episode that I've had the pleasure of either performing, recording, or work with in my career. Plus, I'll be interviewing artists I've always wanted to speak with. We'll discover how each artist developed their chops, listen to their stories, and much more. This is Got Chops. My special guest artist for today is recognized as a timbali player and bandleader of both his Latin jazz ensemble and orchestra. That's him playing the timbales behind me on his father's hit song from 1962, Oye Como Va, which also became a hit in 1971 for Santana. My guest performs all over the world, honoring his father's legacy, who was known as the King of Mambo. This year marks his father's centennial celebration and the 60th anniversary of Oye Como Va. Today's guest is also an artist for LP Latin percussion. His current album, The King and I, features various artists that include Latin percussionist Sheila E., and he hosts his own radio show, which airs every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on power787radio.com. This timbali player and Latin bandleader certainly got chops. Please welcome Tito Puente Jr. Hi, Tito. This is Scott from the podcast Got Chops. How are you?
All right, Scott. Nice talking to you today.
Same here. Thank you so much for granting me this time. I'm looking so forward to our conversation and introducing you to my audience. On the phone, calling from Fort Lauderdale. He's a very smart person. He's there where we're here on the East Coast, and we are freezing and waiting for a big storm, which I hope doesn't come. And this is Tito Puente Jr., a timbali player and known as a Latin bandleader, and the youngest son of Tito Puente, who also did the same things and was known as the King of Mambo, and for composing the widely recognized song Oye Como Va, which was a hit for his dad back in 1962, and then also became a big hit for Santana in 1971. So last month in January, I was playing a gig at this APAP conference in Midtown, New York. I was backing up this vocalist, Chris Ruggiero, and as soon as we were done on stage and we came off stage, Tito Jr. and his band went on stage and they played and they blew the house down. You have a hell of a band. My God, it's unbelievable. It was such a pleasure for us to hear what you were doing and the audience went absolutely nuts. And Tito, before that, a few years ago, I was in the backup band for the East Coast Music Hall of Fame when you were asked to come on stage to accept the Latin Music Legend Award for your father.
Yes, I recall. It was in Atlantic City. And we played Oye Como Va that evening as well, I believe. That's right. We did jam. And my friend Chris Ruggiero was there as well. Chris is a fantastic singer. And the APAP convention, which just happened this past January, wonderful, wonderful evening of music. So many different genres of music were in that evening, and it was great to see Chris hear his orchestra with you in it, and we had such a great time. I work with those cats, the band that I use in New York, for 20 plus years. They're just swinging guys, and I love working in New York, and it's nice to be home and, you know, bring in mambo music there. But the APAF convention was really something special. It was a lot of great talent there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was such a long hang that day, but once you hit the stage, you know, you forget about that. But my God, in every room, the talent and all the producers and promoters looking to book guys like yourself and Chris, it was amazing. They came from all over the country, right?
Yeah, they were from everywhere. It was great. I saw some friends from Japan and Indonesia. They even were over there just looking. And of course, a lot of casinos and different venues, performing arts centers. And it was a great day. And I'm so glad that I got the opportunity to finally showcase at the APAP convention, which I have not done. I've only attended. But to showcase, and I did it for many few reasons. One, the main reason is because this year I have a new concert show. It's the centennial anniversary of my late father, Tito Puente. He would have been 100 years old this year. And I wanted the folks at APAP and all the buyers to check out a new concert, a new style of other songs that we haven't played before. And we brought that to the fans and, of course, all the attendees of the conference. And I'm so glad I got that opportunity. But that's one of many reasons why we're doing it. Of course, we're celebrating Oye Como Va, its 60th year this year in 2023. The single came out in 62, and the album, the full-length album, El Rey de Bravo, came out in 1963, recorded in 62 at the Riverside Ballroom in New York City with a 19-year-old Johnny Pacheco on flute. And Tito Puente written and composed it, and I think they recorded it in about one or two takes.
Wow.
And the song is 60 years old this year in 2023, released in 1963. So we're celebrating that. And of course, I'm celebrating my 20th year from my first release playing mambo music, my father's music, back in 2003 at a record called In My Father's Shoes. And I'm celebrating my 20th year with the guys that you saw at APAP. And we're touring around the world and just celebrating the life and legacy of Tito Puente and all the great compositions and great music and just the spirit of him, what he left on this planet, and the incredible music that he left that just resonates through new generations today. Really, really cool opportunity.
You're a performer, you're an artist, but you're keeping the legacy of your father's music alive and doing the same thing. I was a member of the Nelson Riddle Orchestra for a number of years, and we played behind the Sinatras and all the legendary singers, and his son Chris took over. And there's just something special about people that take over their parents' legacies, like Sinatra Jr. did. So bravo to you. But when you play, you could sense that you don't feel like you're in his shadow. You are so proud to educate people all around the world and say, this is fantastic, and more people need to hear this. And the way you're packaging it is absolutely fantastic. So my hat's off to you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the whole embracing of my father's spirit and his music is something that I kind of was shy from. Prior to his passing in 2000. And I'm still a rock fan. I'm a drummer, trap drummer by trade. And that's what I actually wanted to do. And I still do. And I love rock music. Mambo music was something that I had to grow into, and traveling with Tito Puente around the world. Thank God for my mother, Margie, who's still with us. She pushed me to go hang out with Dad and, you know, drive him around and set up his drums. And that's why I started learning the clave rhythm, the 3-4, the 2-3 clave, 3-2 clave.
Yes.
I started learning that. And then that's where I got that little Latin metronome in my heart. And that's when I started really aiming and, you know, conducive to just playing timbales, and then of course congas and bongos, the Afro Cuban percussions that are instilled in Latin music today and throughout the world with salsa bands. And Puente, my father, was just one of those pioneers that really took the timbales and brought it to the front of the orchestra. And he was the first of so many, bringing a first female singer to the front of a band, you know, back in the 1950s. And then of course, you know, his arrangements, his style, it was so unique. unique and one of the greatest, you know, showmen of that era. And of course, throughout his entire 50-year career, big shoes to fill. So I was very hesitant on taking over that, you know. So, but with regards to Sinatra Jr., who, wow, just an incredible, you know, God rest his soul. He was an incredible singer.
Yes.
And I'm glad that he embraced his father's spirit. And I kind of do the same, but yes, I do have my own style and quirkiness, and I give it a more edge, and I give it, I try to connect the two generations, the younger generation now, who probably never seen Tito Puente, and then, you know, from what my father's legacy left and into the modern day. So I kind of just wear more modern clothes. I don't have the white hair like my father did, but that's coming soon. And, you know, I just have his mannerisms and the sunglasses. So I have like this old little style that I have, but I always stay true to the music. And I know you heard that, Scott, that evening at APAP, the sound. The Puente sound is just very distinctive, and it brings people together. And I always tell everybody that comes to my shows, you are not going to see an imitation or anything like that of Tito Puente, or you might reminisce. I think most people that come to my concerts come for the music. And I think if you just close your eyes, you can feel the spirit of Tito Puente when we're playing his music, his songs. And that's why people come to the shows. Me, I'm just a bonus, and I get the crowd going and make everybody clap their hands. And it's kind of like a Mambo 101 class mixed with Zumba.
Well, it works.
Yeah,
it really does. Now, we have something in common. You know, when you grow up in a family of musicians, my mom and dad were musicians. They're still with me. God bless. My dad just turned 89. My mom's 88. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. So I'm sure you know where Newark is. You've probably even played there in Newark. I grew up in a household with a mother who I thought all mothers did this. She had two drum sets in the house, Leedy Ludwig set with the calfskin heads, the cowbells right from the cows, all the albums by your dad, and all his friends who were really big at the same time. And she would tell me, and she told me last week too, that your dad, that was the person that inspired her to play Latin music and go to Arts High School in Newark. Once in a while, she would take my dad, who was a trumpet player, and they would cut school to go see your dad play in Newark.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she said it just blew her away, so...
I love Newark. Beautiful, beautiful city. We call it Brick City. My father actually had a television show back in the 1970s, actually the late 60s. And it was like a variety show. And it was called El Mundo de Tito Puente, which is the world of Tito Puente. It was a variety show. And they filmed it at Newark Symphony Hall in the basement. And that's where WNJU, which is now, I believe it's Telemundo today, but that's where their studios were under the facility there. And they used to film the show there. And I'm still looking for footage of that stuff, because it would be great to see my father back then, you know, hosting it. You know, like Johnny Carson type of show. But yes, and that's why Newark is a special place in the career of Tito Puente, where that's when my father got his first big break into having his own variety show. And, you know, and of course, I play at the Newark Symphony Hall, and such a beautiful place, and the Grammy Museum's in Newark now, and so much happening in Brick City. I love it. It's just becoming the new mecca of music. And some of the greatest, I could just go to Whitney Houston. Some of the greatest singers have come out of Newark. And it's just a beautiful city. And I love the fact that they are embracing Mambo and Latin music more now than ever before.
So let me ask you, as a band leader of your own Latin jazz ensemble and playing timbales, what does the music slang Got Chops mean to you?
Good question. You could take it many different ways. As far as the podcast angle of it, I love the name, and it gives it a very distinctive feeling that what people are going to hear is going to be authentically, you know, brought to the world and spoken from a very truthful point. And I love it. I think it's a fantastic name for a podcast, and you're doing a great job doing it.
Well, thank you. Do you ever use that term when you're around the guys in your band, or they're talking about someone that has to take off because or personal reasons, and you ask, hey, does the guy got chops? Can he do it?
Yes. Yeah, we use the chop. Well, in Spanish, it's called chuleta, like pork chops. We call it chuleta. But my father used to use that term all the time, too. You know, you got to keep your chops up as far as playing, you know, rudiments and, you know, learning paradiddles in percussion world, you know, and just keeping your chops up, which is practicing a lot. And he did that so much. He did about 300 shows a year. So every time he went to a sound check, he was practicing and he was performing. So he did that while being on the road. And that's how you become innovative. And he taught me many things in that aspect. And he says, you know, I got to keep my chops up. My son's kind of playing little drums now. And I use that terminology with him. So I'm like, yeah, you got to get your chops up, which is, you know, practice. That's basically it. But it's an important statement for most musicians. And they kind of understand it. It's a slang terminology for us, but we all agree. We all have to keep our chops up.
Absolutely. So where were you born and raised?
You couldn't tell by now? I'm a New Yorker. New York City.
I could tell, but I just wanted you to tell my listeners.
Yeah, in Barrio, New York City, and then lived in the Bronx for a little while, and I'm a Yankee fan, and we were like the Puerto Rican Jeffersons. We went from New York City. We moved up to Rockland County, which is right there above Bergen, and my mother's still there. My sister, Audrey, is a meteorologist on Fox 5 in New York.
My mother watches her. She always reminds me about her.
Yeah, a lot of people put two and two together, Scott. They're like, hey, is that the daughter of Tito Puente? And I kind of, yeah, that's her. Yeah, she didn't do music, but she does the weather for tri-state area of New York. And my brother, Ronnie, who's a musician himself, Ronnie Puente, he lives out in the Bronx, too. He lives out in City Island. And he is a musician in his own right. He's on my new album, as a matter of fact, The King and I. And I love New York. New York will always be at my heart. But, you know, again, I'm a smart New Yorker. I got out of the winter and I end up moving to South Florida with my wife, who happens to be from Brooklyn, New York. And we love the sun and we're just tropical people. And we go back to New York practically every other week. You know, and we love Manhattan. We love New York City. We love Connecticut and Jersey, you know, Philadelphia. We love the Northeast, and it's in every essence of it.
It's part of you. It'll never escape you. I don't care where you live.
No. And I could say it doesn't escape us because we still got our accents, and my wife still, you know, she comes at me with her Brooklyn attitude every day. So there you go. We're New Yorkers.
So when did you begin to play and study music?
Wow. Oh, okay. So I'm now 52 years old. And let's see, long time ago, I started learning, really getting into music. Again, I originally told you that, and I still am into rock music. I'm into heavy metal and rock music, very heavy stuff like Iron Maiden. And I think I mentioned that at APAP. I always like mentioning that I'm into heavy metal and rock music and Bon Jovi and Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne. I'm into heavy stuff like that. I got into that. My father was into jazz, and this was when I was a teenager. So I started doing band in school. Everybody loved it. And back then, the late 80s, 86, 87, 88. And I loved that there was a lot of music programs at that time. And throughout the whole 90s and 2000s, I saw them a lot fading. You know, they took those programs away. And that's just such a shame because I appreciate my band director. I appreciate learning rudimentary jazz 101 composition, you know, composing. And then I went to Five Towns College out in Seaford, Long Island. Great facility, great school. Got my chops up there. As the greatest part about going to that school was that they asked you to go do a couple of gigs every weekend. And that was a test. And that determined your grade point average on how good you played.
Wow. Great.
And the teacher would come to the gig, and then the professor would come to the gig and say, hey, you did pretty good. You kept your chops up. I'm giving you a B or a C. I never got an F. And that's where I got my chops up in to be an entertainer. And then I went into dance music. And I have so many different genres that I played throughout my entire career. But I'll always go back to rock music as my first love. And my father hated it. So there you go. I was a rebel.
Well, let me ask you. So when you were at Five Towns College, I'm sure after a while they found out who your dad was. Did anyone ever come up to you and say, hey, we can't teach you what your dad has already taught you?
Well, I was very humble, and I still am even till today. But when I went to the school, they kind of knew that I was going to the school, and they heard that I carry my father's name, Tito Puente. My father's actual name is Ernest Anthony Puente Jr., and his stage name was Tito Puente. And Tito comes from a derivative of something small in Spanish, chiquito, un poquito. And then my grandmother used to scream out my father's name in the Bronx in New York back in the day. And she would call out. They didn't have televisions or phones. They would call Ernestito, Ernestito. And then everybody, the kids in the street, would call my father Tito. And that's where his moniker came from. My name is actually Tito Puente on my license, so it has its pluses and its minuses. But as far as schooling, I was happy to and proud to be his son, and I wanted no plagiarism, nepotism, anything like that. I didn't want to be special, or we're going to train him specially because he's Tito Puente's son. I wanted to be with all the rest of the kids in the class or the students, pardon me, and I appreciated that, and that's where I honed in more on my chops, because I wanted to become my own musician and learn. And my father never taught me how to play drums, Scott. A lot of people think that, oh, you're the son of Tito Puente, you learn from the best, the genius. And no, he never had the time or the patience to teach me how to do rudiments or anything like that. He would just take me on the road and say, all right, listen and watch.
Wow.
You can emulate me. And that, you know, and I think that was the best medicine and teaching that he could possibly give. And I appreciated that even more to become the musician that I am today. He made me go to school and learn how to read and write music. And then from there, I learned how to be an entertainer through him.
You were inspired by listening and watching him play timbales. So out of all the instruments, your ear went to that instrument also and said, no, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, it did. And then, of course, learning the metronome of Latin music, which is the 2-3-3-2 clave rhythm. And that's something that wasn't susceptible to, simply because I was doing 4-4 and 2-4 time. You as a musician understand, I'm listening to rock music. You know, the beats were just the standard rock beats, Phil Collins, you know, and Rush and Neil Peart and all that. I was listening to those bands. We were very intricate in the rock world. Learning Afro-Cuban music with 2-3 and 3-2 clave and 6/8 rhythms, you know, the learning the bata and different Afro-Cuban instruments, not only timbales, congas, bongos, maracas, you know, all the subs of Afro-Cuban music. It was so intricate that I got fascinated by it, by traveling with Tito Puente and seeing the members of his orchestra master these instruments, including piano and the bass and the whole rhythm section. So very grateful for that.
What other Latin jazz percussionists and Latin musicians were you also inspired by besides the ones that played behind your dad?
Well, a gentleman who just recently passed away from Venezuela, Roberto Villera, was an incredible timbal player, younger than me, but they were very inspired. Mark Quiñones plays with Mark Anthony, Bobby Allende. Of course, the members of my father's orchestra were all my uncles they saw when I was born. John Dandy Rodriguez, Jose Madera. These guys are still incredible. They're still with us today and still play. One of the greatest living conga players alive, according to Tito Puente and Tito Puente Jr., Mr. Giovanni Hidalgo, an incredible conga player and just Grammy nominated. And he is just, if you want to see some of the greatest conga playing, just you can always YouTube him. He'll be retired, but he's still playing even till today. And of course, the greatest female drummer alive today, Miss Sheila E. The woman can play a trap kit double bass with 5-inch stilettos. And I haven't seen any woman on this planet do that. So she is fantastic.
I was going to mention later about Sheila E. I've never met her, but I've been a fan for many years. In the mid-70s, this album came out, and on the front cover was this young lady with her dad. It was Pete and Sheila Escovedo. What was the name of the album?
It was probably called E-Family or something.
Something like that. But yeah. I heard that album. It was vinyl. Blew me away. And then later, of course, she became Sheila E. And I know both her and her dad are on your new album.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're family, and they're just wonderful people, and they are a family with their brother Peter Michael and, of course, Juan Escovedo, Sheila's brothers. They have the E-Family troupe. and they're just great percussion players. And they come from the Bay Area. They're Mexican descent. They always think she's my sister. And I said, no, my sister's the one I'm doing the weather. But Sheila is really incredible. I admire. She is an influence in my percussion playing, very much so. And same with, you know, the rock drummers, Phil Collins, Neil Peart, those rock bands and those drummers are just some of them I just admire. Lars Ulrich from Metallica, Dave Lombardo from Slayer. These are names might not be synonymous with the Latin music world, but they are platinum selling artists and Grammy Award winning artists that are drummers that really are influential to me and my drum playing. If you hear me playing the timbales, I do have a slight rock style in there. It's not too much Afro-Cuban. If you're a timbal player, you kind of notice that, wow, he plays a little bit more of the rock timbales that you kind of hear with some of the timbal players that played, of course, like Carl Perazzo with the Carlos Santana band. You know, he has that little rock feel to it. And it's nice to hear a cowbell in a rock song too, you know?
You know, I'm always fascinated by the modern drummers like Sheila E., yourself, who can go from Latin percussion to drums and back, whereas years ago, probably during your dad's time, or correct me if I'm wrong, it was like, no, you're a percussionist or you're a drummer. Mm-hmm. The other guy that I find fascinating, I'm sure you know who he is, he has taken on the role of the percussionist with the rock group Chicago, Walfredo Reyes Jr. And then now he's the drummer with Chicago. But when he goes back and forth, you can't tell, oh, he is a drummer playing percussion or vice versa.
Not only is Walfredo Reyes Jr., his father, Sr., played with the Tito Puente Orchestra for many times. So, and not only that, his little brother, Kamar, he put me on a TV show. He's an actor on, One Life to Live.
Really?
So, yeah, he put me in the show there, too. So I did a little acting bug there.
Wow.
So the whole Reyes family is just incredible. But Wally Jr. is just, wow, forced to be reckoned with playing with Chicago. And then jumping into, he'll jump on stage with Mark Anthony and play in his orchestra like it's nothing. And those are multi-talented drummers and percussion players that I admire, and I put them in the upper echelon of my top 10 in the percussion world.
Let's talk a bit about your dad, Tito Puente. He was also known as the, like I said before, the King of Mambo, plus the King of Latin Jazz, and for popularizing Latin dance music in America, including cha-cha, merengue, bossa nova, and salsa. He was recognized as the original player of the timbales and making it very popular, which you took on years later. And like I said before, he composed the hit song Oye Como Va, which was also made famous by Carlos Santana. Your dad, I was very impressed by this. I did not know this. So your dad also studied conducting, orchestration, and theory at Juilliard in New York City. Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yes.
So as a young child, were you aware of who he was?
Well, absolutely and 100% not. I did not know. Because to me, he was just dear old dad, and I wouldn't see him a lot, Scott. He wouldn't be home.
Right.
So I was like, okay, the man is out there working, and I'm just going to be a teenager or, you know, young youth and ride my bicycles and play with my friends. And then I would see the Grammys and the gold records and all the accolades come into the house and be hung up on the walls and all that. And I would say, wow, where is he getting all this award stuff from? You know, and I guess as a child, you don't understand that, because my mom kind of wanted to shelter me from the music world. But it's so hard when you have one of the greatest living icons and of Latin jazz and mambo music and Latin music worwide, you know, living in your roof, under your roof, and he's right there. And he was just dear old dad, and we would bust his chops. We bust his chops, me and my sister and my brother, and we looked at him just as a normal person. And they would call the house. We'd have Carlos Santana and, of course, Duke Ellington, Count Basie. They would all call the house, and we'd pick up the phone and, hey, I want to speak to the king of Latin music. And then we would say, well, the king is on his throne. He'd be in the bathroom. You know, so we were, but we make dad, you know, we make him be humanized because a lot of people stroked his ego.
Yes.
And he was just such a master at what his craft, but he was down to earth. He was a street musician. He loved taking pictures of people. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen dad in concert, Scott, or met him in person, but
yes.
He was just very humble like that. That's what made Tito Puente so loved and adorned by American and Latin American people.
Oh, absolutely. My God. Yeah. And it's befitting that he was dubbed the King of Mambo and the King of Latin. So what a monumental year this has been for you, as you touched upon a little before. So your new album is called The King and I, featuring, as you said, Sheila E. and her dad, Pete Escovedo. Your dad's centennial. So I think that's going to take place in May at Jazz at Lincoln Center.
Actually, we're doing a concert, a big one, over at Lehman College on May 20th, a centennial concert. So we're doing that. But we are going to do something at Jazz at Lincoln Center as well. And that will be towards the end of the summer, I believe. But yeah, so two different places, because my father's synonymous for the folks in the Bronx and Manhattan. So we got to take. And I'll be also in Queens, too. I think I'm going to hit every borough. I think I'm doing Brooklyn as well.
And then the 60th anniversary of Oye Como Va. And then I read or saw it on Instagram, you're in a movie where you portrayed your dad.
Yes, I did. That will be coming out, I believe, Easter. So that's April. The movie is called Los Reyes de la Salsa. And it's the story of the Fania legends, Richie Ray and Bobby Cruz, who got their first break in the Latin music world and becoming worldwide celebrities and, of course, platinum and gold records with the Fania All-Stars through Tito Puente. My dad gave them the first opportunity. So I played the character of my father in the 1960s at the Palladium, and I put them on stage. And it was really, really nice that they asked me, Bobby Cruz himself, the actual artist. The movie's based on a book that he wrote. He asked for me, Junior, Tito Junior, to be in the film itself. He wanted me to play my father's role. And it was a great honor. And we filmed it in Puerto Rico. And the trailer is out now. You guys can see it's called Los Reyes de la Salsa. It's on YouTube. And then the actual release date, I think, is right before Easter. I think that Thursday before Easter. Easter's on a Sunday, so Good Friday. Yeah, right around there.
Wow.
But I will be posting that on my social media pages so you guys can see it. And it'll be not a theatrical release, but I think it's probably going to be on one of the streaming platforms, whether it be Netflix, Hulu. I'm not too sure yet. But yes, so it'll be on there. And it'll have subtitles so everybody can understand it.
As a musical artist on the road, continuing with your dad's musical legacy, you and your ensemble perform in casinos, performing arts centers, and jazz festivals nationwide, and you've even done a few USO tours like Bob Hope did between 1940s and the 1970s. So I'm assuming that some of your charts with your band, that your band plays, are the same ones that your dad performed with or rearranged for your group?
Yes, most of the arrangements and performances that I do are arrangements written and composed by Tito Puente. I try to incorporate most of the music that I play of my father simply because it's nostalgic music, and I would like for people to hear how his vision was for his songs that he wrote and composed. My father worked with a lot of different arrangers like Ray Santos and Francisco Aguave and a lot of different composers, Sylvester Mendes, Eddie Palmieri, Charlie Palmieri, a lot of different writers and composers work with Tito Puente, Benny More being one of them too as well. But my father really, I liked the songs that he wrote because it has a certain style, a certain swing. He mixed big band swing music with the horn section with Afro-Cuban rhythms with the percussion section of his orchestra. And you can hear that in most of the Tito Puente composed and written songs, such as Ran Can Can, Mambo Go Song, Oye Como Va, the cha-cha feel to it. That's Tito Puente, what you're hearing. It's synonymous to his sound and what he writes. And he has many other songs, mind you, written and composed by Machito and Rodriguez and all these other great, great composers and performers. But the songs that were written and composed by my father, I try to present most of the time, and also keeps the royalty in the family too. You know, there you go.
I know he used to play Birdland, and I guess he took the time to arrange Birdland in a swing feel. You know, he took the swing feel, but with the Latin feel and combined it.
Yes. Won a Grammy for an album called Mambo Birdland in 1999, recorded by Mr. John Fauci at Birdland in New York, live. And he did some of the tunes from 1950s and 60s that were, you know, just classic Tito Puente songs, remade them in a live version, and won a Grammy for them. Over what, almost 40, 50 years after these songs were written and composed, he was winning Grammys 50 years later for those same songs. That's innovation right there, Scott.
That's magic in a bottle, right?
Yes, it is. And it's Oye Como Va, going back to that, that song is in like the top 100 songs of the century. It's right there with Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, and that other Spanish song called Macarena. Really popular. And, you know, my father used to say that too, Scott. He'd say, yeah, my son, you only need one. You only need one hit, or at least someone else to record your one hit. And like Santana, and it becomes just like synonymous with your brand and who you are and your whole career. And it's great to hear that. And he was absolutely right. And I have a career because of those hits and those innovations that he made almost 60, 70 years ago from today. Those songs just help me in my, you know, composition, writing, and whatever I'm going to do in the future. And I can tell you right now, my son, Tito Puente Jr. the third, if he picks up the drumsticks, he could take those songs that at that time, you know, now they'll be 70, 80 year old songs. Wow. And he could still perform those. It's kind of like the Glenn Miller Orchestra. It never dies. It's always reinventing itself. Those songs, you know, and Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, any songs that they had, Cab Calloway songs, they're timeless. Then that's what makes them innovative, because they're songs that just go on forever.
Some jazz people, and you know this from being in the industry, they're snobbish. And unless it has a lot of chromaticism, it's really not considered a quote-unquote a jazz composition. But Oye Como Va, it's incredibly simple. You can remember the melody. So when I say simple, it's not a put down. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
So it has a pop aspect of it, but it's jazz. And when you analyze it, it's a 2-5 progression.
Yes.
And it's all diatonic, except for a couple little chromatic things, you know, towards the end there. But you could use that as something to analyze in a jazz theory class.
Yes, and I did do that when I was at school. It's funny that they brought it up when I was in class. And I said, the easiest way to describe Oye Como Va, you just got to move your pinky. If you're playing the chord progression of Oye Como Va, it's just moving your pinky one over. Dun, 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 dun. That's it. It's just moving your pinky. And the bass is kind of just a three-step. That's it.
Yes.
Very easy three-step on the bass. And there's your song. So it's kind of like a call and response tune as well. People love to sing it, chant. And to be honest with you, the song, as you mentioned, it has the pop feel, the jazz feel. But the song was written and composed as a cha-cha-cha. And that's what it really was. When my father wrote it and composed it at the Riverside Ballroom, he was thinking of a dancer to sing it. And the lyrics are very easy. Oye Como Va, mi ritmo, my rhythm, listen how it goes, pretty lady. And cha-cha-cha, that's what it is. And that's where it comes from. And Carlos Santana just brought it to the stratosphere by adding that rock element to it. And that's what made it that pop rock thing. But the song was originally written and composed as a cha-cha-cha, and jazz aficionados do respect it. It's a standard, really.
That's right.
Listen to any jazz book or open up any jazz book, and for any jazz group, quartet, septet, you know, a three-piece, and they all got it. It's because it's one of those just simple songs, like you said. Simplest is better.
Less is best, as they say.
Less is best. There you go. And that's keeping one of those songs that you want to keep your chops up. Keep playing that one.
You are also an endorser, an artist endorser for LP, Latin percussion, for the timbales. Do you also play your dad's timbales as well?
I have most of my father's drums here with me in my home. and it's actually not here. They're in storage because my wife doesn't allow me to play them in the house. Too noisy.
Got it.
So they're in a storage facility. But I do, when I do go out on the road, I try my best to use my father's drums so I can really, it's kind of like a magic thing. What you guys saw at the APAP were my father's timbales.
Wow.
And I like playing those. I just change the heads, but I keep the shells, you know, so it gives it that point day magic. He has so many different derivatives and styles of drums, different colors. I have his drums from the Olympic Games. I have the drums from the White House. They're gold plated. I have, you know, some colorful drums that were custom painted. Some of the drums are, you can see the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. Some at the Musical Instrument Museum in Scottsdale, Arizona as well. Hostess College in the Bronx has a pair of Vibes from Tito Puente. So I do curate most of my father's instruments, if not all of them. And I try to just hang on to them as much as possible. Some of them I'll take out for special occasions where I have big concerts or television appearances. And some of them I just like to use locally and in the studio recording because they have a real cool Puente sound that my father had back in the 1950s. So I never like to bring those out because they're very rare, but I use them in the studio and they just sound just like Dad. And so, most of those drums and most of those things are with me. However, this year, the LP, which I love, I've been working with them for 20 plus years. My father worked with them for over 40, 50 years. And Latin Percussion is a company now owned by DW Drums, but they are just a great trust the leader. That's their motto. And their drums are just synonymous with Tito Puente and the brand. And the Tito Puente brand timbales are usually the ones I only use. So let's just say I go to a casino or something and I don't bring my father's drums. I ask for the back line, specifically ask the Tito Puente brand model LP timbales, 14, 15 inch. And of course the Tito Puente brand mambo bells. And this year they were going to be celebrating with a centennial Tito Puente timbal set. LP is releasing a limited edition of that. Very exciting, and kind of just announced it on your podcast right now. So there you go.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great.
Very, very cool. Comes out on his birthday, April 20th, 2023, this year. The centennial Tito Puente limited edition timbales.
Wow. All the best. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, let's talk about your music. Could you pick two different musical selections that your Latin jazz ensemble has recorded that you feel best represents who you are so I could filter it in the tracks as you speak about them now?
Sure. One of them was from my album on 2010, and it's an original composition co-written by Mr. John Rose and myself. And Mardo Rosado was one of my musical directors, two-time Grammy Award winner. It's a tune called Junior's Mambo. And I guess it's really dedicated to my son, Tito Puente Jr., but it makes sense because I'm a junior of my own father. And so I dedicated it to my dad and my son, and I feature him in the video. He's a small baby. You guys can see that on YouTube. The music video's out there. Just go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ Tito Puente Jr., and you can see it right there. And Junior's Mambo is really synonymous with Latin and jazz music, and there's a little chorus in there, very basic. Latin jazz tune, up tempo. of the tunes that I like doing are synonymous to my father's music. And one in particular that I like that has that Oyakhoma and Latin jazz feel to it is a tune called El Cayuco. And I play it in most of my concerts, and the fans really love it, especially the Mambo Knicks, who are the old Jewish folks from Brooklyn, New York, and Italians. They used to go up to the Catskill Mountains back in the early 60s and 70s. So they really love to dance the cha-cha-cha to the tune called El Cayuco. It has the Latin jazz feel. And that's off my first album playing Tito Puente music in 2003 called In My Father's Shoes, El Cayuco.
So I'm assuming that when you were growing up, at times, you were in the presence of other notable Latin jazz musicians that your dad was friends with, work with, family, like Celia Cruz and Chico O'Farrell, just to name a few. Do you have any stories that you can share about those encounters?
The encounters were incredible. I didn't know who they were at the time, but Maynard Ferguson, let's see, I can go down the line. Stevie Wonder, of course, the great Tony Bennett, and of course, Carlos Santana, Sheila E., the whole Escovedo family, Dave Koz, Dave Valentine, great flute player, of course, Giovanni, Eddie Palmieri, Charlie Palmieri, Michel Camilo. The list goes on and on with the incredible Latin jazz members that my father worked with and recorded with. The late great Mario Rivera, of course, Mongo Santa Maria, Patato Valdez, Hilton Ruiz, great jazz pianist, no longer with us. A lot of them are no longer with us, but they were great. Some of the greatest Latin jazz icons, even till today. Take a listen to their albums and the experience of just knowing them and being around them as they were just normal street guys like my father too. Funny characters, very innovative for their music. And they would really bring out the best in each other. When my father performed with those artists, they would challenge each other and who can play an intricate jazz and mambo music the best that they could. And then you could hear it in all their recordings, how they took that jazz sound, swing, blues. They brought it all together in a picadillo, if you will. That's a mishmash of meat in the Puerto Rican world. But that's how they did it. They did a sancocho, which is like a soup. And he added so many different elements of jazz, Afro-Cuban music, bomba plena, mambo, cha-cha-cha, rumba son montuno, all the different styles of mambo music. Cachao, another great artist, bass player, Arsenio Rodriguez, Machito. You know, I could go on and on again with the Latin jazz artists that my father worked with, but he always brought out the best. They would bring out the best in each other, and he would bring out the best in them. And that's really the essence of it.
One of the people that I mentioned that was friends with your dad, I'm sure they worked together, was Chico O'Farrell. I studied with a legendary saxophonist who was a great doubler that was with Glenn Miller when he was 17 years old, and he had a jingle house in New York, and he did a lot of work with all the Latin artists, a lot of the ones that you just mentioned. His name was Lenny Hambro. I don't know if you know that name, probably not, because you're much younger than I am, but he was Chico's first saxophonist on all of his albums and even live. And Lenny also played on a number of live dates and I think even recordings with your dad.
Yes, he has. And I do know the name, and I've seen him on the credits as well.
Oh, no kidding.
And yes, an incredible, accomplished musician. Back to Chico Farrell, one of the most prolific and incredible composers
yes.
of our time. And an incredible composer and arranger, Chico Farrell. And kudos, big shouts out to his son, Arturo, who just won a Grammy Award recently in Best Latin Jazz category. So not only is he taken after his father's stuff, he really combines some great arrangements from Chico and his father and then his own original stuff. So kudos to Arturo Farrell, incredible, my very good friend too. And it's nice to see the sons of legends like that keeping their parents' spirit alive. But Chico, what an incredible, prolific, and one of the most important as far as Latin and jazz music composers of our time.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and I'm sure you know this gentleman, when I was at Berkeley in the mid-70s, I was a jazz flute major. So one day, this person my age, in my grade at Berkeley, he comes up to me and introduces himself and said he's going to start a Latin jazz group and would I like to be part of it. He said he heard that I can play a jazz flute and would I be interested in doing Latin jazz. I said, oh, absolutely. His name, and I'm sure you know, Bobby Sanabria.
Absolutely. One of my very good friends. And Bobby is so... I call him the professor. I say, hey, Bobby, you the professor. And Bobby knows Afro-Cuban music probably more than anybody that I know, simply because his drumming skills and his Afro-Cuban thinking, just the way he thinks, it just spews from him. And he is a Puerto Rican, and he's very proud of being from the Bronx and from Puerto Rico. But Bobby's just really... like brilliant on that. And he, yes, that's one of his spots, which is Berklee College of Music. And that's a very prestigious school. I have a friend named Eggy Castrillo who teaches over there right now, Timbalero. And they bought the Latin jazz movement over there. As a matter of fact, I just donated last year some a marimba vibe set to Berklee for the new students that
really?
Are there. Yes, yes. We love to help that school. Boston has one of the most prestigious and finest schools of music, which is Berklee College of Music. And that is, if my father didn't go to Juilliard, he would have went to Berklee. And those who don't go to Juilliard, you go to Berklee. And by the way, you have to have audition to get into those schools. You cannot just go in them. Okay, you got to know something. And that's why what a great place to get your learning and get your chops up right there. Berklee, what an incredible school. And Bobby, hands down, an incredible musician.
Well, I'm telling you, you're giving me goosebumps here because everything just came full circle between you mentioning and knowing Lenny Hambro and seeing him on the credits and Bobby. And everything you just said, I was going to say the same thing. When he approached me and we started, my God, the font of knowledge he has and had when we were, 18, 19 years old. And we played all around Boston as students. We played in the Latin section of Boston. We played concerts. We played gigs. But he always got on the mic. I can still see it in my head. And educate the audience.
Yes.
I don't care if it was a concert, a gig. I don't care if it was a hole in a wall. He took such great pride. And his whole quest, like your thing, your musical legacy is, carry your father's name.
Yes.
His whole quest was, I'm going to educate everyone. I want everyone to understand how important this is. And I believe, because after Berklee, I went on the road. I think he settled in New York. And then I think he started to work with, maybe I'm wrong, with your dad and
yes.
all the other people that you mentioned. So he's become a force to reckon with. And then I understand he was a professor, or maybe still is, at Manhattan School of Music.
Yes.
Where I went also after Berklee, after getting off the road, but he wasn't there when I was there. So if you speak to him, tell Bobby, give him my best. I haven't seen him or talked to him since we parted ways in the 70s. So just tell him I said hi. I wish him all the best.
Yes. Sinabria is very easy accessible. He's like me. He's on Facebook and Insta, you know, all the social media pages. So you could always reach out to him and right there. But he's such a fantastic cat, and my father really adored him. And he's a great teacher. He's a student of the game of percussion. He understands. He speaks the language of percussion, and you know, his readings and his teachings are, you know, if anybody wants to learn, any of your listeners would like to learn more about Afro-Cuban music, I suggest they look up Bobby Sinabria. He does some great lessons on YouTube, and he also does some teachings there. And I think he has a book as well. And listen to his big band. Oh, man, incredible. They did a tribute to my father a couple of years ago. And Bobby really knows his work. He's a master at his craft. And I can't say anything more about him. He's just, wow, just a wonderful. And he's a very good friend of our family, too. You did mention Celia. He knows very much about Celia Cruz and Afro-Cuban rhythms. You know, Celia was very good friends, of course, with Bobby and, you know, my father. She was practically my godmother. And what kind of more can I say? She was a force to be reckoned with, as well as my father brought her into the whole New York music scene from Cuba and showed the world that a African Latina, Afro-Cuban American can come from Cuba and sing. At that time, there's a lot of racism back then, Scott.
Right.
And he said, no, you guys are going to take a listen and close your eyes and shut your mouth and listen to this woman's voice.
Wow.
And he did that, and he forced it down people's throat. And that's why Tito Puente gets a lot of respect. And Celia gets more respect because she's a pioneer in bringing the Afro-Cuban world to the masses around the planet. It's not just the United States. This is around the planet. And Tito and Celia traveled the world and breaking down that barrier. And a lot of people thought my father was African-American as well, since because he had the kinky hair and he talked like a New Yorker and a street guy. He's a black guy and he was born in Harlem. You're a black guy. You're just light skinned. And then my father said, man, all I like is the color green. That's it. You know, and that's why he was very, you know, growing up, I saw that. And he explained that to me, the struggles that he went through, the racism, by traveling and playing Afro-Cuban music in the southern states. He was one of the first back in the 1940s and early 30s. He was only 16, 17 years old. He's traveling with these bands and you know, they had black horn players and Afro-Cuban guys on congas and bongos, and they wouldn't let them sleep in certain hotels. They had to go to a colored section. And my father was like, what the hell is going on here? This doesn't make sense to me. And he would be a part of them. He would not let them be alone. He'd be like, well, I'm going to go with these guys because they got more rhythm and more love in their hearts than any, you know, Anglo guy at that time. And so he went through all that, and he has to get recognition for that. And he did, as they honored him at the Apollo Theater in New York City. You know, the Black Caucus, they all, the Hispanics and Black people, embraced Tito Puente because of what he did for Afro-Cuban music and for Blacks and for Hispanics. And, of course, for jazz music, too, as well. And that's why he's an ambassador for that. And when he traveled to other parts of the planet, he would go to Japan and China and Indonesia and these places where they didn't even know English or Spanish, but they knew who Tito Puente and Celia Cruz was, and the music was the language, and that still is even till today.
So let me ask you, do you have any upcoming live performances or projects that you'd like to announce?
Wow, I have way too many. Well, I would just recommend that everybody listening to your podcast right here on Got Chops, just go to my social media pages and you guys could see all the tour dates. I got a lot of big concerts coming up. A couple that are major for my career. One being in Puerto Rico, where it's doing the centennial celebration of Tito Puente at el Día de Nacional de la Salsa, March 19th. That's going to be with La India, Charlie Aponte from El Gran Combo, Milo Ruiz, the 50th anniversary of Típica 73, which is a very, very popular band in the 1970s with mambo music. So we're going to have some of the members of my father's orchestra performing at this concert. And then I got another one at Lehman College in the Bronx on Saturday, May 20th. We'll have the full orchestra there as well, along with some special guests, Nicky Marrero from Fania All-Stars, Oreste Vierato, and many other singers that work with my father, Frankie Morales, Frankie Figueroa. So that'll be a nice, wonderful tribute. And then we will also, April 20th will be my father's actual 100th birthday. And Tico Records will be, and Fania Records will be re-releasing 180 gram vinyl of the El Rey Bravo 1963 album. So that will be coming out. And also the Centennial Timbales that I mentioned earlier from LP will be out as well. So many great things happening. I do a radio show every Sunday, so I kind of keep everybody in a loop. Yeah, I do a radio show at 3 to 4 p.m. on a station called Power 787 Radio. You can go to power787radio.com every Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and tune in to everything about Tito Puente and Tito Puente Jr., the brand, the concerts, the music. And all I do is talk about the old man and everything that he's done. Just, I could do it every single week for the next 50 years, and I'll never repeat a song. So much music he has. So I do that. And then I'm also doing some hot sauce. I have a hot sauce line, which is fantastic. And if anybody interested in trying some of it, it's great with, you know, poultry and fish and steak and sandwiches and hot dogs, hamburgers, anything. I have four different hot sauces, flavors, sweet green pepper, tamarindo. I have a guava version. And then I also have maple syrup and mango, a sweet taste of heat and fruit. And you can get it at Tito Puente Jr. myshopify.com along with the compact disc. And it's a clever idea my wife came up with during the lockdown that we were in a couple of years ago. He said, what were people doing? They were listening to music and eating. So let's put some hot sauce with the album. So it became a great thing. And we sold a lot of it over the summer. And so if you want to get it, social media is the best way to find me. You can see all the concert dates, the radio show, the movie. We're doing a biopic, a documentary on Tito Puente as well. Footage is being curated right now. Oh, wow. I can go on and on with the so many things happening, merchandise as well. And of course, all the great concerts coming up with the Latin Jazz Ensemble and my full orchestra. I'm doing a big show in the Immokalee Theater in Immokalee, Florida, with Willie Chirino, his 50th anniversary. That's going to be on Saturday, March 25th. Again, all the concerts and everything we're doing at Tito Puente Jr. on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. And you can see everything right there. I update it daily.
I can't thank you enough for, you know, granting me this time. I've learned so much. I'm sure my audience appreciates and have learned so much from you. So thank you once again, Tito. I really appreciate it.
Scott, it was a pleasure chatting with you. I'm glad we got to meet up at the APAF convention. I hope to work with you one day soon and you can jam with us with the Puente arrangements. Thank you so much for the compliments, and thank you for letting me share my small but large story with your listeners here on your Got Chops podcast, number one podcast on the podcast stations. And thank you again for having me. Muchas gracias.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day. I hope to speak to you real soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for joining me on today's show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and could hear why my guest got chops. You can follow my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Anchor.fm, and stay connected between episodes on Instagram at Got Chops Podcast. Join me on the next episode when we discover why my next guest got chops.